Welcome back, everyone. This is the Bless You Boys podcast. BlessYouBoys.com is your home for all things Detroit Tigers baseball on the SB Nation platform. I'm your host, Brandon Day. With me, my co-host, Ashley McLennan. Ashley, how are we doing tonight?
Not too shabby. We got a winning record 5 days into the season.
I mean, a dominant bullpen, you know, hitting home runs like we didn't see at all last year. Yeah, they're a juggernaut. They're going all the way.
They're gonna win the World Series. I don't know what to tell you.
Yep.
It's
Might as well dream, because I don't know if the season's going to even end up happening, so we might as well just dream, I guess.
I know. At this point, I'm just taking it. I'm just going to, like...
I know.
I'm so torn between, like, the logical, this whole baseball season is a terrible idea part of me, and the cram as much baseball into my face as I possibly can now before they cancel the season, because, oh, God, I need it.
Yep.
So it's a very hard balance to
work. Yeah, exactly. Like, I think it's a bad idea, but it's not my call, and there's baseball, and so I can't help myself, and that's just how it is.
That's the thing. Like, I can't be the noble fan who is like, I'm not going to watch because maybe then they'll see that fans, like, you know, I can't, like, I can't reject it. Like, they're putting it in front of me, and I love baseball so much. I just have to watch it.
Yep.
And I'm being rewarded for it, which isn't helping. Like,
yeah,
the Tigers are doing really well. The Rays are doing really well. It's like, you know, I write about the Cubs too. They're doing really well. So I feel like the baseball gods are at least in tiny ways smiling on us.
Yep. Trying, well, at least us specifically.
Us the viewers, yes.
Yeah, the baseball gods are giving the big finger so far to, like, the Reds, for example, and obviously the Marlins.
The Marlins are being, like, smited.
Yeah. I don't know what they did down there.
It's not great.
No. I think
I've heard rumors about what they may have done, but until those are substantiated, I don't think it's fair to run with them.
Yep. For now, I'll just blame it on all the karma that Derek Jeter has used up in his life.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. Maybe Don Mattingly, too. I don't know. But yeah, you know, to speak of the Reds, like, you know, the Tigers went in there and got struck out, like, almost 50 times in three games and took 2 of 3. And then they had a bullpen day yesterday, and we saw, like, the 8 through 12 guys in the Tigers bullpen, which did not go well. Let's just put it that way. And then they came right back out today with their best bullpen guys and put together 9 strong innings and only allowed a couple hits and runs and looked really good a lot of the night. So yeah, it's been a pretty weird, interesting start for the Tigers so far. Just the fact that they're scoring runs and hitting homers and kind of looking like, I don't know, the offense looks like one of those Twins teams from like 2-3 years ago before they actually really got good, where they were just hitting lots of home runs and striking out. And that would be great. If that's what they could pull off this year, that'd be just fine. I mean, there's 16 spots.
It's just nice to see some offensive oomph from the team, right? Like, we're not seeing it quite as much from the people you would expect it from, like Miguel Cabrera. Like, and so he looks great. Like, physically, he looks so good. Like, he looks... I'd argue at least 5 years younger than he did last season.
Yeah.
He
was looking slow and big last year a little bit.
Yeah. And he looks like, I mean, I hate talking about people's weight as an advantage, but he does look like he's slimmed down, and he looks like he really took seriously getting into, like, prime shape during that, like, lengthy off season. But what we're not seeing yet, I mean, in spite of him hitting a great home run against the Reds, he's not quite Miggy level, I think, at what we would expect. Like, he seems like he's not quite seeing the ball the way he used to.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
He's like chasing for bats a little bit, and I don't know if that's just because of the, like, lengthy downtime, or if it's just, you know, one of the default facts of aging. But, like, Miguel Cabrera reads baseballs. Like, I think it's one of those things that, like, Ted Williams talks about, and how there's, like, these hitters that are out there that are just natural at being able to see a ball and to recognize it. And I feel like he just needs to make some sort of an adjustment to either his swing speed or something that's just not matching up to where he was, like, you know, 8 years ago, 7 years ago when he was in his prime.
Yeah, and we know he's not going to quite get back to that, but yeah, you'd hopes for some kind of middle ground to be found, yeah.
But yeah, overall, I mean, I think he looks like he's almost there. Like, I think he's just trying to find that thing to fine-tune himself in, but I think when he gets there, it's going to be really exciting. But in the meantime...
Yeah, he doesn't look far. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And we got Jacoby Jones, and Jacoby Jones has figured out his timing with those swings. That was a huge problem for him 2 years ago, and now it looks like he's like, hey, I know how to hit a ball.
Yep. He's not pulling off anymore. He's
Yeah.
got like the lower hands. He's trying to hit the ball in the air, and it's absolutely working. Yeah, you know, Miggy looks like not far though. Like, you know, we'll see how it goes. Like, he took a few, and he's kind of had a tendency to do this, but he'll take some like first pitch fastballs that are just like routine right down the middle. And you figure like maybe he's trying to set the guys up later in the game because he does think about things that way. But I have seen him like, yeah, not offer at some just absolutely just prime rib right down the middle. And you'd like to see him, yeah, crack a couple more of those out. They're also it's also interesting because they're playing that like Victor Martinez defense on him where it's like all the infielders are like, you know, 15, 20 steps onto the outfield grass. Because they know he can't run, and he's still shot a few balls through there anyway, and he's still gonna hit the ball hard when he makes solid contact. So you know, I don't know how much that's gonna affect things, but yeah, it's been funny seeing that defense just like, oh yeah, getting to that point where you might as well just be swinging for the fences, kid, because yeah, it's tough sledding getting ground ball singles anymore.
Yeah, I do like that it seems like the Tigers are actually taking seriously the notion of moving him more permanently to DH. Like when you got CJ Cron in your roster, why not take advantage of that and why not give Miguel Cabrera a little bit of breathing room, as much as I know he hates the idea of it. I think it's better for everyone in the long run, because then you get both of those bats in your lineup and then you keep both of those bats healthier, hopefully. So I like that they seem to be taking that route.
Yeah, and at this point, I think CJ, even though he botched two plays today, and I'm sure everybody will be like, "What are you talking about?" Like CJ Cron is a pretty good first baseman defensively. I would expect probably better than Miguel is now. Certainly moves better. Miguel still has really good hands. Like he just kind of always has had good hands and a good arm. But it feels like they've come to a firm decision. And Ron Gardenhire's actually took him out of some games kind of early, which you know you never would have saw Brad Ausmus do. And I guess that's you know some of that is maybe just Brad Ausmus not having the cachet or the you know the years of experience that Ron Gardenhire and his grandpa Santa Claus beard bring to the table, where you
Oh
can't
my
really
God,
argue with
we
him.
call him Grandpa Claus.
I mean, he kind of is. He's very grandfatherly figure, and so yeah, he seems to take it better, you know, from him. I don't know. I've still been a little bit like I wouldn't take his bat out of the lineup in the seventh inning, even with a rally going. They tried to do it tonight and put in Harold Castro to run at first base with I think it was Nico at second. I'm not even 100% sure. But then they just bounced into a double play anyway, and it was like, well, God damn it. Like, I appreciate the strategery. And then there was, of course, the strategery of trying to have Jacoby Jones lay down a bunt in game two in the ninth inning to move the runner to second with no outs. And
Never bunt.
nope. And of course, he fouled two off and then was free to swing away and absolutely mashed a pitch to center field to win, basically for the game winner. So, yeah, on the strategic front, I'm not sure if Ron Gardner has had the best start, but you know, they seem to like him and play for him. And until we
Maybe the
go
key
on
with
beyond this,
Jacoby is just to force him to try to bunt a couple times, and then he just hits a home run. That
yeah,
seems to have gone very well so far.
you got to get him a good look at the ball a couple times,
Just
give him
got
the
to
sense of
annoy him.
failure, and then annoy him. Yeah.
And then he'll mash something just to show you that you should just be letting him swing.
Yep.
It's a good key to success.
Yeah, I don't, and you know, do you really want him squaring up to bunt after he's taken the shots in the face that he's taken over the years? Like he had another one tonight. I can't even remember which pitcher it was. I think it was Zimmer, the guy who started for the Royals, drilled him right in the cheek flap basically, and he was down for a while. And Tiger fans will of course remember the Twins game from say, oh,
2017, I think.
2017. Yeah, you're probably
Yeah.
right. Pretty early in the year, yeah, where the Twins plunked a bunch of guys, drilled Jacoby in the face, and then Matt Boyd hit Miguel Sano, and then Miguel Sano got mad, and former hockey player and 6'4", 220-pound left-hander Matt Boyd strode down the mound and was just like, "Yeah, bring it, big boy." And fortunately, nothing came to fisticuffs at that point. Really, it was a little bit with McCann, but yeah, taking a ball to the face has got to really mess with you. He looked okay in the next bat. He did flinch away from one breaking ball, but seemed to shake it off. And then Jonathan Scope kind of caught a breaking ball that clipped the shoulder and hit him in the helmet too. So None of it was intentional, but yeah, there was a little bit of like, hey, Royals, get your shit together. Have to start,
Figure yourselves out.
Yep. We're gonna have to start at least throwing inside on you guys. At least against Whit Merrifield, since we can't get him out, other way. It's just impossible. So might as well hit the guy or take the chance of throwing in on his hands a little bit. Yeah, Whit Merrifield, it's something else. So, against the Tigers, it's like watching, just like the,
Yeah,
it's like
it's like
Kristen Yelich or something at the plate against the Tigers.
it's like a magic, like he, I don't know if he had a sorcerer somewhere and he was just like, make me the best baseball player ever. And the sorcerer's like, I shall, but only against the Detroit
Yeah,
Tigers.
if only against
And
your
so
true
he's
rival.
like, he's pretty fine elsewhere, but like against the Tigers, he's like bloody Babe Ruth.
Yep. And yeah, he's been a pest. He always is. And other than that, like we've seen, I don't know, like a pretty decent showing out of some of the offensive players. Like the lineup has been decent. Like Goodrum's looked good and played pretty good shortstop for the most part so far, and looks fine there. He gets on base and has power and can run. So if he can play shortstop, like that's a pretty nice little win there. So returns there have been good. Jacoby's looked good. Maben has contributed as he usually does.
I mean,
And yeah, CJ Krohn.
we're looking at a step up from having Nick out there. So
Yeah. Yep, for
frankly,
sure.
I think Maven's a an improvement.
Yep, I think so. And then yeah, you get him on the base pass and, he's pretty electric out there. So yeah, I mean, obviously the Tigers don't have any star hitters anymore, but this lineup feels a lot more just deep, even with Jamer and Kristen Stewart still struggling, and I don't really know what's going to happen there. Stewart hit an opposite field 400-foot home run tonight, and that was good to see him connect and do some damage, because he's looked a lot like he did last year so far. And then you got Austin Romine, who has also like swung the bat and puts together, pretty solid at bats, has a home run already. You and I have talked about this just like to death, but I mean the Tigers were just so woeful at catcher last year. They were like negative 5 wins above replacement at catcher. So all it takes is like a solid major league catcher of any sort, and you're like, wow, catcher position's like awesome this year compared to last year. So
Yeah,
yeah.
it's big, and it's I think it's valuable too, because I mean he's going to be a great advantage to have on the team for guys like Greiner and for Rogers, as they kind of come up and see what it's like, because he's looked really good behind the plate in calling those games and just framing things as he does.
Yeah,
So
he like so far has like called the pitches. Like,
yeah.
sometimes like you with a young pitcher, you're like, well, he's scared to throw his changeup or whatever. Like, yeah, Andrew Romine seems like, nope, you're gonna throw it. I'm gonna make you throw it until you're good at it. So, yeah, so he was calling for everything from the Tigers rookies on Monday, and it wasn't necessarily going well. But yeah, he's smart back there. Should be really good for the young pitchers and stuff. And yeah, overall, like it's all looked pretty well. Like I wouldn't have thought coming, this is just how baseball will defy you in every way, but I wouldn't have thought coming into this season, like back in March, that our problem would be the rotation, like that would be the biggest problem. but the rest of the club has looked pretty solid, and the rotation is a little thin right now, but we're hoping we get Daniel Norris. As you were saying
Yeah,
before we got on the air, Daniel Norris seems to be coming back, so.
he pitched about 60 pitches down in Toledo. Obviously, they're not playing games, but they are working out inner squad. And I think they said that if he can go another round like that with about 60 to 70 pitches, that they're probably going to move him up to the big club. So that's positive. I think we could see him soon, and we've kind of been prospect spotting in Casey Mize's general peer group,
Yep.
and I think we're looking at we would v very potentially, at least safely, maybe see him maybe starting this weekend.
I hope so. I'm really
Fingers
hoping.
crossed. Because what we were waiting basically was where we wouldn't add another year to his service time. And I think that timeline runs out the day this podcast airs.
Yep, it should be Wednesday because, yeah, the Toronto Blue Jays are starting the monster right-hander Nate Pearson, who everybody should go watch if they just want to see like the next maybe Verlander guy if he doesn't get hurt and figures it all out. Because, yeah, he's a big kid, throws really hard, has a huge, nasty curveball. So, yeah, that should signify that the clock period is passed for losing a whole year of control.
I would say so just because, I mean, the Jays are kind of notorious for gaming control, so
Yeah, they've had so many good prospects.
exactly. So I think if they're willing to pull up a guy like that it's probably time that the Tigers are very realistically considering bringing Mize up.
Yeah, I mean, I think, going into the season, whatever their plans were, losing Jordan Zimmermann, and then having Dario Agrizal, who was supposed to start on Tuesday, go down with a forearm strain. That's not good. That usually isn't something that the guy just shakes off after a start or two, or a turn or two through the rotation. So we'll see what happens with him. But no one was expecting a whole lot from Agrizal anyway. So I mean, yeah, it feels like the pathway is clear. There's 16 teams in this playoff. We're already seeing like half of the NL East just like going through, unbearable contortions because of the Marlins COVID situation. Things aren't going real well over there. Like there's, we just don't know what's going to happen. So like if the Tigers have any interest in winning this year, it's kind of there for them to give it a try and bring Casey up. So yeah, we're all hoping. Hoping it looks like that. And then, you plug Manning and Scooble, Mark on the other podcast and I have talked about this endlessly, so I'm sure people are sick of hearing about our exuberance for putting and giddiness almost at putting Manning and Scooble into this bullpen, with Soto, Jimenez, Cisneros, and Buck Farmer and kind of doing some work. So that could be really fun, if we can get to that point. So yeah, it's been weird. Like obviously everybody was probably bummed out on Monday, but Kyle Funkhauser, Bo Burrows are both former starters who've never really developed much past their first year or so on the farm, and we've all been kind of waiting for it. And their prospect rankings have slowly ticked down into the teens and then the 20s as the system's gotten better. And you could kind of see why yesterday. Either one of them could be a reliever, but yeah, they I don't know. Neither one has looked very good in quite some time, really, like over the past year or so. I wasn't real surprised that they didn't look too good. Burrows is still only 23, so maybe he's got a chance still. Funkhauser, I don't hold out much hope for. And then we saw Anthony Castro too, who is one of the nicest dudes in the Tiger system. Big fan of his. He and Gregory Soto are boys, and they've kind of been together in the struggle to make it all the way to the bigs ever since Soto got to the league. And so seeing the two of them up there together gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. And Anthony Castro has a nasty breaking ball. He doesn't have the same velocity that we hoped he would have as a reliever, but maybe that will come a little bit. And he's got a pretty wicked cutting four-seamer. He could be useful still. So yeah, I wouldn't worry too much for people out there about how the bullpen looked on Monday. Those weren't your seven best guys necessarily. That was we're throwing this together last minute kind of a situation. And everybody should be, feeling okay because I thought Michael Fulmer looked reasonably good, coming back from Tommy John, pitching his first game in almost 2 full years. Kind of faded late and got hit up, but other than that, like looked pretty Michael Fulmer. Like you'd like to see him get a mile or 2 hour back on his fastball and build up that durability, but otherwise he looked a lot like his former self. Still really aggressive, threw good sliders, threw a few good changeups. Like it was fine for a first turn back. Everybody's got to be patient with him. So,
Well, and speaking of guys who looked great coming back into summer camp physically, like he looked awesome.
yeah. I mean, really lean, looking
Gun show
strong.
arms. He like looked ripped. So
Yep.
yeah, very impressive to see he hadn't kind of like let himself go.
Yep.
But he definitely looked like he was in great shape to play, so that's awesome.
Take your shirt off, Michael Fulmer. Ab
No.
check.
Not
Yeah.
what I mean. But like no, like physically
That's what
looked
I want to know. I want to know
better
what
than
his abs
Brandon
look like.
Williams. Like are their abs to go with those arms?
Yep, exactly. I know the weird fetishization of the pitching body is just hilarious to observe on Twitter a lot of the time.
Well,
Or
and it's pretty
bad,
funny because
whatever, but it's funny.
you get people fawning over forearms. Like pitcher forearms are just
Yep.
like artists should draw them. They're incredible. But
Yep.
then
All
like
these bros,
so
like, look
much
at his hands. His hands are
rampant
huge.
dad bod underneath the jersey. It's
Yep.
hilarious. You can tell where they focus all of their efforts.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So yeah, all in
Speaking of
all, we've had a good time. Pretty fun 5 games, and hopefully, yeah, they get Matt Boyd on the mound Wednesday, and I guess probably Ivan Nova on Thursday. So we have two real starters going, and hopefully they can pull out at least one more of those games, if not two, and get us on a little roll here.
I would like to see something better from Ivan Nova than his first start of the season. It was
Yeah.
not the best. The
Yeah,
polite. He was walking a lot. He had a lot of trouble. I think he didn't get his first strikeout of the game until, what, the fifth inning or something like that. It was fairly rough.
it was. And he's kind of that way. Like it would be ideal if he was like our middle relief, like long man, mop up guy. That would be perfect for him at this point. But he's kind of a Mike Pelfrey guy. Doesn't strike many people out and just kind of pounds the sinker changeup combination and keeps the infielders busy. So,
That's
which in
true
old
too,
school
but
baseball terms is sounds like a very good thing, but in modern baseball terms, you just can't let guys make that much contact without getting your butt kicked most of the time. So, it's just the way it goes, unfortunately.
Speaking of Tigers relievers, though, we got news this week that Alex Wilson, Star-Lord himself,
Yes.
is retiring from baseball, and he was just released from the Tigers earlier this spring. So I guess the Tigers will be his last home in baseball. And I guess he's moving on to work for his agency. So the agency that represented him was the Ballingy Group,
Yeah.
and he will be moving on to work for them in an advisory capacity. So I guess he'll help recruit and help newly recruited baseball players within the agency.
Yeah, that's cool. It's always nice to hear, someone who is like a really tough, baseball player who like was like a role guy and just did whatever he had to do and actually have a plan and like go on to doing something kind of cool and staying around the game and all that. We know Alex Wilson. What was he? He was getting his master's degree in psychology when last year when we saw him. Still working on that online or whatever distance learning or something, and that was pretty cool to hear. And yeah, he's always been someone that you had to like and respect because he was never like a great reliever, but you could just give him the ball whenever, and he would go out and try to get the job done. Tried to pitch on a broken leg at one point. Just a madman. So yeah, seems like a cool guy, and yeah, we wish him the best. Absolutely. So. Yeah, it's nice to know kind of what he's gone on to. I
Keep his
saw Mike
expertise
Gerber,
in the game.
former Tiger prospect Mike Gerber, had his first child with his wife the other day. That's cool. It's nice to keep in touch with these people after you follow them like a weird obsessive from the time they were like 19 or 20 years old. It's like, oh, things have turned out well for my young lad, especially at my age now. I take an uncle-ish attitude to most of these people, so. Yeah, so that's good to know that things are working out for some of those guys. And I just want to turn it back real quick to Gregory Soto. One Gregory Soto who has looked like an absolute monster on the mound so far, looking like some kind of reincarnated non-felon version of Felipe Vasquez from the from the Pirate. Out there throwing like 98, 99, absolutely throwing darts. If people aren't familiar with Gregory Soto, he was a starter for a long time, and he's always been kind of this hard-throwing lefty with good athleticism and a loose arm. But he always had like this loopy breaking ball and couldn't spot his fastball enough to kind of be a guy that you could see turning into a future like durable starter where you could run him out there and know he would pound the zone for six innings or something. So relief has always kind of been the way things were expected to go, but then he didn't look that good last year, and this year he's gone to a slide step, has taken out the big leg kick that used to kind of throw him off balance a little bit, is throwing this harder, tighter, slightly flatter slider that's just a scud sweeping across the strike zone. And in three outings this year, has just looked absolutely bananas, just spotting 99, 98 on the black on both sides, up and down. We'll see if we can keep it going, but he's one of those guys that gives you faith because so many like hard throwing, talented looking relievers or just arms in general in the minor leagues just never figure it out. Like never figure out how to command the ball and you get jaded. So it's nice to see somebody like come up who you were always like, man, if that guy could just throw strikes, he'd be awesome and look like he's doing it. So it's only a few outings, but it's been very noticeable how much he's looked better this year. So that's been cool because he'd be a super good weapon to have in this bullpen, and that would really give a lot of people a little more confidence in this team. I haven't seen this much stuff in a Tigers bullpen in quite a while. There's always the issue of commanding it, but they actually have like the potential for a decent unit down there. So we'll see how that goes. They've got to get the starting rotation worked out so that these guys aren't having to go five or six innings every game. But we could use Matt Boyd to pitch a little better. Could use Spencer Turnbull to go a little deeper. But yeah, overall things have been pretty positive so far. And that's all you can ask for because, yeah, we didn't even know if we were going to get baseball at all. So I'll take
Yeah,
it.
I think it's a pleasant surprise to start the season, and I'm definitely not mad at any of it.
Yep.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Meanwhile, but around the league, things have just gone like terribly awry with the Marlins, who have just had, you know, multiple COVID positive COVID tests pop up, you know, a day for, I guess, it seems like the last 4 or 5 days. And then it all came to a head when they were supposed to play in Philly. And, you know, basically they ended up putting it to somehow like Rob Manfred, the commissioner, didn't make this decision. The team owner of the Marlins didn't make any decisions. We didn't see Derek Jeter making these decisions. We didn't see Don Mattingly, the manager, making these decisions. Somehow it was up to the players and their, what, like 25-year-old shortstop, Miguel Rojas, to like text chat with each other and decide whether or not it was safe to play baseball.
Yeah, this seems to be the new way of teams deciding things.
Don't remember that in the protocols. But yes, apparently it's just up to the players to just to, you know, put their medical skills to work and their epidemiological knowledge to, you know, into it and decide what should happen to, you know, umpires and team personnel, clubhouse attendants, you know, coaches who are of a more vulnerable age. That is the craziest, like, just chunk of malpractice we've seen out of the league. And I will only say in the past year, because it's just been a constant stream of pure BS out of major league offices over the past year, like from the way they handled the Astros stuff and the Red Sox thing to attacking the minor leagues and talking a whole bunch of smack to try to make their, make their push to trim it down and then getting to trim it down because of the COVID and then trying to divide the players by trying to screw over the wealthy stars and make them look bad. Like, it's just been one absolute clown show for a solid year now, and I don't really know how Rob Manfred is going to just be allowed to keep his job going forward. Not that it's all on him. I'm sure the owners are behind a lot of this themselves specifically, but holy cow.
It's insane. Like, the fact that he had the absolute audacity to say that losing an entire team for most of a week was not his version of a nightmare scenario.
Yep.
And they wouldn't consider shutting down the season. And
I mean, what is his nightmare scenario? You know, it's like, oh, if, you know, yeah, if like more than one person dies. Yeah. Yeah. It seems
and
that way.
That I've asked this question within our groups and to others, but honestly, I think it's worth pointing out that if it was a team other than the Marlins,
yeah,
like if it was, you know, the Dodgers, if it was the Yankees, would things look different today? And I think it would.
Yep.
And that's really disappointing because it means that they're not taking it as seriously as they might because competitive, quote unquote, competitive teams aren't the ones currently at risk.
Yep.
And they want to take the money of those teams and their viewing audiences and their markets.
Yep.
And
cash in the playoffs. Yep. That's the whole plan right now. And, yeah, a lot of journalists have not really covered themselves in glory on this story, but we have seen, you know, a few people at least try to ask Rob Manfred, like, what is your standard? You know, like, do you guys have any standard for when you would, you know, do shutdowns or this or that? And there's been really, you know, a lot of evasiveness and just sort of, you know, I mean, they obviously are doing this, but it's really felt all along that they're just kind of making it up as they go along.
Yep.
And so apparently, you know, we're not going to go by record this year anymore. We're going to go by winning percentage because the Marlins And now the Phillies, who aren't going to play a couple games, I think, if I'm not mistaken, or they're out for a little bit. And then the Washington Nationals took a vote, like at the last minute, before going
A
to
month later.
Miami. Yeah, by the players again. Like, yeah, do the player, do the players feel safe? Do you guys want to go to Miami? And they were like, no, we should probably, chill for a couple days and not go down there. Meanwhile, the Marlins are out here, like, I don't know, like signing Fernando Rodney and, like, I don't know, putting out a call to like every indie ball league around the country looking for a warm body to plug into their rotation. So we're already seeing the competitiveness of the season, impacted, fairly substantially. Like, yeah, maybe the Marlins weren't going to win anything, but they're still playing against major league teams who are now just going to, run roughshod over these guys.
It's the Astros, by the way, that took Rodney.
Oh, sorry. Yep, that's right.
But they
But
are having an implosion of their bullpen too. Like they just keep losing pitchers, which we'll talk about in a second.
yeah, the Marlins.
They
Some
keep
kind of a
picking up a lot of
retread.
minor contracts and like
Yeah.
guys that haven't played in a while. I mean, I can't imagine being a player and having your contract selected by the Marlins right now.
Yeah, it's got to be a
Like,
good time.
could you be like, can I reconsider that?
Yeah,
Like,
but then
no, thank
you,
you.
yeah, but then yeah, you look at what you're gonna get paid and what you've been dreaming for your whole life, and the players are gonna
Yeah.
want to play. And the league is kind of using it against them because they know the players want to play, so pushing the decision to their hands when it should not be in their hands, just smacks of them, trying to deflect the blame and put the responsibility for things that the players have no business being responsible for onto them. So it's bad. It's not been great so far. And you can look at it like, well, maybe this is a wake-up call and everybody tightens up their protocols and stuff. But I mean, I think everybody watching the game realizes that the players are not going to be able to restrain themselves during a game from being excited and doing baseball things. Like it's just so unnatural in some ways. And I don't really want to blame them too much. But we had a good example the other day when Spencer Turnbull saw Jacoby Jones catch that fly ball at the wall in Cincinnati and, tried to like give him a bear hug in the dugout. And Jacoby Jones like put his hands out and was like, oh, ah, did the like, no, don't you hug me, and walked right past him. But yeah, that enthusiasm is, and adrenaline is part of the game. And that first game in Cincinnati lacked it. Like it felt weird to transition from, games with no fans in Cincinnati in the preseason to games with no fans in Cincinnati, but now it's the regular season and everything really matters. It sounded like some of the players struggled with that too. CJ Cron was talking about that, like how they had to, they were kind of reminding each other, like, this is it, this is, the regular season now. We gotta be 100%, gotta do everything right. But yeah, without the fans and that sort of opening day excitement, of that whole vibe, it did seem to open a little flat for a lot of guys, and it feels like it, I think maybe that's past now and they're used to it. But yeah, it was a weird weekend to watch that, that start to the season unfold under these conditions. It's been strange. So yeah, maybe the players will tighten things up, and by the grace of God, somehow, we
Get
won't
through a
have
whole season.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, it also just raises the specter of like every baseball commenter on Twitter, who I don't really feel like I need to add on to in this vein, because this has been almost a unifying voice for everyone. It's just that it just seems really hard to believe that we're going to be able to get through this, and there are plenty of good arguments why they should probably not be trying. So it is what it is, and we're going to enjoy it because, as we said, they're putting baseball in front of us, and we're baseball junkies, so we're gonna be excited and watch baseball and analyze it and have a good old time. But yeah, I mean, this has been the thing, and I had a talk with a few commenters about this on the site. This has been the thing dragging on, everyone trying to cover the game for the whole past 3 or 4 months. It's just hard to have the same like degree of enthusiasm without feeling like you're ignoring a very serious problem and very serious possibilities, and just being extremely Pollyanna-ish about the whole thing. So it's just hard to, yeah, it's just hard to manage, those two perspectives and cover the game with the normal degree of intensity, especially before games started. Now that we had games started, coverage covers itself practically. Like we just follow the stories and, write up the games, and it's a lot easier now. But yeah, it's just made for a real weird spring on top of what is obviously a very weird spring for the entire world. in our
Yeah, I mean, everything's weird, right? Like, it's not just baseball, but it does add to it because I think all of us kind of have this ingrained notion of what baseball looks like and how it is and how it behaves. And it's for us as people that write about it on a daily basis, it's what we've built our careers around. And it's very strange for us even to adapt to it because I think a lot of people wanted baseball back because it would feel normal, right? Like, you would have that sense of normalcy and something you can lean on and something you know so well, but it's not the same. It's fake fan noise and cardboard cutouts and nobody touching and masks on the field. And it's all very weird. And I'm glad to have it for what it is, but it's definitely not baseball as we know it.
Yeah, it's not a return to normal, but it is like those beautiful little hints of normalcy. Like some of it feels normal, like watching a baseball game on a weeknight, turning that on, doing doing chores or cooking or whatever it is you're doing around the house, sitting out on, by the bonfire listening to Dan.
Getting so excited, I terrify my cats. That's a big
Yeah.
part of baseball for me.
I've already gotten really irrationally mad about at least one thing and like had to restrain myself from saying dumb shit on Twitter. So yeah, I mean,
I've definitely had moments like even today where I was like taking breaks from making dinner and watching a game, and I was just like standing there and I'm talking to the TV and I'm like, well, I mean, come on, guys, you have to pull him now. You have to. Like, what are you thinking? And I
I
just
just
love
love
having
having
those
those conversations
conversations with
with
absolutely
absolutely
no
no
one.
one. Well, just that, this thing, Mark will do it sometimes too, and maybe this is where I got it. No, I've done this before too, but like I'll be watching an at bat and I'll just like tweet like fastball up and in. No one knows at what point I tweeted this or what the count was or who even the batter was, but I'm just like, yeah, calling the pitches. I was trying not to do that, but there was one in particular tonight where it was Whit Merrifield, and I was like, it's 3-2, just throw it right up at, under his hands. If you hit him, it's fine.
Oh, I
Don't
do
let
the
it hit the
thing where I
ball.
yell at the TV about check swings.
Oh yeah. You
I've
what?
pointed to base umpires who cannot see
You have appealed
when I
from
want them to
home.
check. And I appeal, and then I start yelling like, "No, he didn't go. He held. Calm down." And then I'm like, "Yeah, that's right." And like, it's just you miss it. I think you miss having strong opinions about the stupidest things. Like,
It just gives you like a whole, a whole dramatic tableau to like vent your emotions on and, experience things secondhand and enjoy the game and work through, past, early life trauma and, whatever else needs to go on. It's kind of a vessel for a lot of things beyond just, sitting down and watching the game. So yeah, it is, it feels great to have it back. That's for sure. We can't help keep our other eye from looking very sidelong at the advancing cases of COVID and, having that in the back of our heads too. So this whole season's gonna be like that. I guess we'll get used to that too. New normals, for as long as they last. I don't know. So yeah, I think that'll about wrap it up though. We've got about 5 games in. We'd like to see the Tigers win this series against the Royals because the Royals aren't good. And if the Tigers are going to be better than not good this year, they need to beat the Royals and
yeah.
try to make a little early push here against the Cardinals and the Reds and the Pirates, who are the 3 teams they play next, who they should be, competitive with. There isn't really a juggernaut outside of Minnesota, but yeah, I don't have a whole lot of faith in us beating up on the White Sox, Twins, or Indians this year. So, going to need to get it done elsewhere for the most part.
Do we want to talk a little bit about JV?
Oh yeah, we should talk about JV if people don't know. Yeah, like I think it was, yeah, I know who it was, so I'll say who it was. It was Chandler Rome, I think from the Houston Chronicle. I'm not 100% sure which paper, but longtime beat writer for the Astros, but tweeted out the other night that Justin Verlander was going to miss the rest of the season, had suffered a forearm strain and was going to, was going, I don't remember specifically if he said there was going to be Tommy John surgery, but he definitely said
He
that he was
didn't. He
out for the
didn't say it would
season.
be surgery, but he said he would be out for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, which means Tommy John surgery with a forearm strain to almost any baseball observer. So everyone leapt into high gear, speculating on what was going to happen and, lamenting that after all these times, Verlander finally had the arm injury that he'd eluded longer than anybody and blah, blah, blah. And we're all going on and on about it. And then, what was it, the next morning?
It wasn't even. It was like literally 2 hours after Chandler
Okay.
posted it that Verlander didn't call him out directly. He didn't like quote tweet him or anything like that, but he's like, you know, suggestions that my season is over are greatly exaggerated. I have this kind of situation going on. I'm getting it checked out, hoping to be back in a couple weeks. So like,
yeah,
it was definitely, and I mean, who knows? I think they're still waiting to kind of hear what's going on with that.
Yeah, he could be out, but they definitely jumped the gun.
He's on the 10-day IL right now, retroactive the 25th. So it's, he could be out for the rest of the season. It's a short season, right? Like, it's not the same implication as it being, you know, the first week of April and him missing the rest of the season. It's August in 2 days.
Yeah.
So him missing the rest of the season is literally missing 2 months. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's a drag, and it's a drag also because, you know, at this point, Justin Verlander is inextricably linked, of course, to the Astros cheating scandal, and probably gets yelled at it for more than just about any other player, even though he's not a hitter, because, you know, he hasn't handled some situations there very well. Public opinion is not super in Justin Verlander's favor at this point. And so, yeah, it was the usual, you know, litany of like, oh, you know, what about the roids? And, you know, oh, this is what cheaters get and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, that's just what they're gonna have to absorb in Houston for probably many years to come. But
on that note, can I talk a little bit about Jock Peterson?
Well, one more thing I was gonna say is that if Justin Verlander is out and does end up having to have Tommy John surgery and misses all of next season, that'll be the end of his career in Houston. And when he comes back, you know, he'll be looking for, you know, some other team, like maybe like a familiar, you know, like welcoming hearth-like place.
Perhaps.
Yeah, to come back to work his way back into, you know, whatever he can do for the remainder of his 30s and into his 40s. So keep that in mind, folks. We'll just we'll see how that situation plays out.
Since we were talking about the Astros cheating scandal and kind of the specter of it that hangs over everything, I just wanted to talk about Jock Peterson because the Dodgers are playing there today. And somebody asked him about the World Series and about, like, you know, the shortened season. And he's,
yeah, they asked if it was legitimate.
They asked if it was legit. And he said that he didn't think whoever wins the World Series this year needs to have an asterisk next to their name because it's not like they're cheating and they're not cheating to get to that. They're playing the game and they're not doing anything above and beyond that. And it was such subtle, beautiful shade to throw while sitting at Minute Maid Park.
Yep. Yep. Like the context would say it all. So he didn't have to really like point out what he was talking about. Yep.
Well, especially since it was Dodgers versus Astros, obviously, that year. And, like, you know, it definitely was just chef's kiss.
Yeah.
I very much appreciated that he wasn't, like, being an ass about it.
Yeah.
But was just, like, using the context of the question and, like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They haven't forgot. Yeah.
Beautifully placed shade. And I very much appreciated it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty great. Yeah. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind having Jock over here one of these days. It's something.
Yeah.
That's a guy we've discussed a few times. Yeah, just a guy that, you know, can mash it in the seats and has all this swag and isn't really a really good player, but is like a fun guy to have on your team. Kind of a little bit of like a right field Ian Kinsler a little bit.
Yeah.
But more of a power guy than a speed guy. But yeah, but just just kind of that irritant type of character. So yeah, I could totally take his point there. Absolutely. And of course, there's also been, oh man, I wish I could remember the journalist's name, but there's also been new accusations about the Yankees using cameras in center field to steal signs as well. And, of course, the Red Sox also got busted. And so I'm going to continue to feel like this was probably a very widespread thing, that maybe the Astros were the most egregious example of, and maybe the Dodgers didn't do it. But I don't like this because I feel like we're never going to know, you know, how widespread this was. And it was probably fairly widespread. It would be my opinion because no one was watching for it yet.
Yeah. It was definitely probably more than the two teams. So it's tough to swallow, right? Because you don't want to assume that, you know, your favorite teams were doing it, but a lot of teams probably had their variations of it and not banging on a trash can per se, but doing something a little shady. So
yeah,
I think that was the thing, like that a lot of people said that it was really just like a well-kept widespread secret that, like, you know, that lots of people cheated because they could get away with it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been
hate
suspicious
that we're
of
out just how many.
Yeah, I've been suspicious of Cleveland for years. They would just put together those weird, you know, weird innings where all of a sudden they would just square up pitches that they had completely whiffed on in the first at bat and hit like three home runs in an inning. you just never know with stuff like that. And I know like the Tigers pitchers were always like super obsessed with their signs when they were in Progressive Field. So that, I mean, not trying to throw the Indians under the bus either, because maybe the Tigers were doing it, which would be hilarious if they were actually cheating and were that god awful. But but yeah, it's just hard to know. It doesn't, you know, doesn't let the Astros off the hook or anything, and that's not what I'm saying. But I'm always suspicious when it's like, oh, this one team is the one we're going to take all of our scoring out. I'm always like, I don't know, man. Better check your own backyard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. All right. Yeah, let's wrap it up there, though. We both got things to go right. It's the busy season, so got anything else to promote? And we'll bounce out of here.
No, I got nothing right now. I'm going to be recording some more videos this week, so the YouTube channel will be back at least with weekly shows next week, fingers crossed.
Right.
And get some of that stuff out of the way to talk about the new things going on in the season. I don't have anything to destroy. Sadly, my last video was destroying a baseball. It was my 100th video.
Yeah, you guys should go check that one out. It is interesting. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so there's two versions. There's one that was a little league ball by accident, and that was all cork. Oh,
yeah,
my
that
God.
Was the cork ball, yeah.
Never, ever try to take apart a little league ball.
Yeah, those things get all, like, mashed and, like, flat in places after a couple swings. Like, they're weird.
They must. Like, unbelievable. But taking apart a major league ball, if you're ever willing to sacrifice the cost of one at a game or anything like that, they're actually really neat on the inside. And then one of my Twitter followers, who's a doctor in Australia, Matthew, whose last name I cannot remember, but anyway, he shared a picture. Him and one of his kids took apart an Australian league baseball, and it was similar but different yarn on the inside, which I thought was kind of cool. Like, there's a very distinctive gray yarn inside of an MLB ball, and the Australian ones actually have like a white yarn, which I thought was kind of cool.
Oh yeah, it is interesting. Yeah, you just never think about that stuff, but yeah.
I
know. Has anyone ever like gotten themselves some of that? Damn that mud from, was it New Jersey or whatever?
I want to say it's from like Georgia, but I could be wrong. But you can order it, and I keep meaning to, but I don't know what I would do with it once I finally had some. Like, I want to have some and show it off on the channel.
You just submit it for this is the problem, is it would be expensive, but you'd like submit it for chemical analysis. Like, is there anything unique about this mud in any way? Yeah, or is it just mud? Can we just use any mud?
Like, that would be like 5 seconds on the YouTube channel. It's like, I ordered this really expensive, fancy
baseball
mud. What's it all about? And then you open it up and you're like, oh, okay. It's mud. Yay. Yeah.
And then I spent $400 to have some researcher tell me that it was like nothing distinctive about this mud at all.
Yeah, just mud. Just fancy mud.
As for me, I'm going to try to write about Mr. Gregory Soto and how good he's looked. And maybe I'll throw in a little something about the three guys who made their debut. Carson Fulmer looked kind of interesting, his first outing. I don't really have a whole lot to say about him yet, but we'll see how that plays out. Other than that, he's got that weird twitchy Mike Clevinger leg kick that made me suggest that, yes, perhaps he had eaten Mike Clevinger yesterday. Yeah.
Does the body good.
Yep, exactly. All right. We're going to bounce out of here. Everybody enjoy the games the rest of the week. And for as long as we have baseball, we're gonna have a great time. And the Tigers seem like they might be at least entertaining enough to like break our hearts at some point, which was very hard to do over the past couple years. So I'm looking forward to just getting dragged and broken by this team like doing well.
Looking
for
forward to
three
feeling
weeks.
Things again.
Yeah, and then falling apart. So yep, here's hoping. All right, yeah, you have a good night. We'll talk
you
to
too.
Everybody else very soon.
All right. Bye.